The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, what's up? This is Tom Arnold, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. They're really great, and I love them. Hey, how about a copy of Windows? Can I get a laptop?
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
Good to see y'all. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. It sucks.
Yeah. Well, it sucks for you because this time of year, you got a lot of...
playing sports. Everybody wants to play sports. Everybody wants to play sports. Basketball, lacrosse, baseball, softball. Hockey was end of February, but yeah, all the sports are still happening. Basketball finally wrapped up with the NCAA tournament. First round was happening for women's here. So basketball's finally done. But now...
Let me ask you a question, Sean, about that, right? So you got Notre Dame teams that are in the basketball tournament, right? So when they lose, are you kind of secretly happy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a secret.
You're not supposed to feel that way, Sean. You got to support the team.
It's okay. Postseason stuff just drags on, and especially in the spring season, right, when basketball crosses over into lacrosse season. And then those two sports cross over into baseball, softball. Today we had our first baseball, softball games on campus today.
All right.
So just, you know, getting those events set up, waiting for the equipment to come from basket, you know, the equipment we need is still being used. So then it's like last minute having to shuffle stuff over to a new venue and get set up.
Let me ask you about that though. Like, do you broadcast every sporting event, or is it more just like you're there to record it and put it up on like the local servers for Notre Dame or something?
So there's different levels of broadcast, right? So a normal, what we call digital level event, just goes to the ESPN app. So you can go to watchespn.com.
Sure.
You can watch the broadcast.
Okay.
Then we do what is called linear, which is linear TV, which would be on ACC Network, ESPNU, ESPN2, or ESPN. Those are on TV.
Right.
But more often than not, most of our games are on ESPN Plus or ESPN 3, which is the app.
But ESPN The Ocho.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Is that your cornhole teams?
Well, we actually have, for our big show coming up, we have the cornhole champion, like the world champion cornhole guy coming to do some stuff because he's Notre Dame nut.
Who is it? Is it Kevin Riley?
I don't know. I don't remember what his name is, but
how do you know the name of the cornhole champion?
Okay, so Kevin Riley is from Green Valley, Saurita originally, and I know but he's a former Border Patrol agent and just a really cool guy, worked with canines. And then all of a sudden I found out the guy was into cornhole, and next thing I knew he was representing the agency up on ESPN and some of the other tournaments.
Was he wearing like Border Patrol stuff?
Yeah, he had a shirt that said Border Patrol, but I don't think he's in Border Patrol anymore. I think he's, you know, just a freelance guy that's done really good at cornhole. I'm terrible at it. I'm awful.
I mean, those guys are crazy. I mean, those guys, like, they're ringers every single time.
Yeah, so in April we're doing our big Notre Dame Day show. So you guys will have to watch because it's gonna be a cool thing. They're gonna do this big thing in the stadium, and it's going to be like a broadcasted cornhole game. It's going to be pretty cool.
Have you tried it, Sean? Have you tried cornhole?
Oh, yeah. We play it all the time when we go camping. I've got my own set of boards and everything.
Are you good?
No.
No, you're not good either?
No.
I'm okay. My son actually beats me usually.
Do you give him a little benefit? Does he get to stand a little closer to the cornhole board?
I'll let him take a step over.
Think about how big and how popular cornhole came. There's actually a restaurant club out here that actually is nothing but they've got cornhole set up permanently. It's a lot of fun. People get out there and they have a good time with it.
There's a ton of restaurants around here that do that same thing. And also, like, what's that other one? Bocce ball.
Axe throwing,
bocce ball. I mean, they have all those kind of stuff. Yeah, totally.
I know. I would.
You
know,
that's the one thing I don't get.
Did you ever go to the Liberty Station, Stone Brewing, and play basketball there?
Where is that? Yeah. Is that in...
Oh, wait, didn't we go there for your birthday?
Yeah, we went for my birthday, dude.
Is that in Denver, or was that in San Diego?
No, it's in San Diego.
Yeah.
No, but the craziest thing, I just don't understand this. How do you allow axe throwing at a place that serves alcohol? Like, that's just doesn't
really
seem
good
to
liability
be
insurance.
Yeah, really? You think? I actually have a friend who I've been trying to get him on the show for the longest time. He's a huge geek and a nerd like me. But he was a former axe throwing coach.
Wow.
And in order to be an axe throwing coach, he had to go through a ton of training and a ton of like medical training, first aid training, things like that. And he would have to, like, almost once a shift, he'd have to run out to the lane and be like, all right, here's a Band-Aid or here's a bandage. He'd have to call 911.
What?
But also, they told him, like, we only serve them. Like, I think he said, like, they only serve them two drinks per session. So you're not allowed to come in drunk. You have to be, you have to be visibly sober at least. But then you only have two drinks while you're throwing axes. But I'm like, that just sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I don't know. I know we would hit the board and bounce back, and that would be it.
Yeah.
I don't want that on my headstone.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
But they've broadcasted axe.
Killed by his own axe.
So they broadcast that. So that
yeah,
would
they've
be cool.
Done it. They've broadcasted axe throwing on the Ocho.
Yeah. Well, that's when there's nothing else on. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Come
well,
on.
When is ESPN the Ocho on? It's only on, like, during the summer months, right? It's only, like, for 2 weeks or something?
I don't remember, but, yeah, it's only for a short period of time. But you can find most of it online or other.
But I love ESPN. And for those of you who don't know, ESPN the Ocho is kind of like, it's a call out to the movie Dodgeball.
Dodgeball, that's
which
right,
was one of the greatest movies of all time, in my opinion.
Really?
I love Dodgeball. I love it. The cast, the storyline, everything was great about it. Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller. I mean, this amazing cast.
Right.
But anyway, what they do is they compete in a dodgeball tournament, and it's broadcast on ESPN The Ocho, which is all the obscure sports. And people love that movie so much that ESPN actually decided, you know what? Let's do this, because they already have ESPN 1, 2, 3, and then ESPN Plus and all the other channels. They're like, why not create ESPN The Ocho and just put on like 2 weeks of just random obscure sports?
Okay, you ready? Here's a quick list of what they aired this last year. The Johnsonville ACL Cornhole Championships, World Axe Throwing League, Open Ultimate Championships, Ultimate Frisbee, Spike Ball College Championships, Las Vegas Highland Games, Putt-Putt Championships, Ideal Electricians National Championships.
Yes, the Electrician Championships are amazing.
Wait. Electrician Championship?
Yes. They actually take a house. They take a framed house, and they're like, here's what you got to do. You got to wire up this entire house in 30 minutes. And they let the electricians go, and they have to wire up the entire house and get it to code within 30 minutes. And then afterwards, they have an inspector come through. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I get electrocuted.
The National Stone Skipping Competition, the World Sports Cup Stacking Championships, the World Sign Spinning Championships.
Oh, DraftKings goes crazy on that one.
Tram Driver Championships, annual Cherry Pit Spinning Competition. It just goes Classic Tetris World Championships.
How do you watch this? How do you watch the
ESPN?
It's 24 hours.
Right?
On ESPN2. 24 hours of bizarre world sports.
I'm going to have to look for this, because that just sounds like a riot.
But you know what? I'm saying is, this is an untapped market. And DraftKings, if you're listening, this is an untapped market, because I would bet money on the Electrician Championship. Like, I mean, I am game for that.
That would be different, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I like this.
Here's one.
What's the odds he's going to get shocked?
Right. The Slippery Stairs College Tour. How fast can you climb up slippery stairs?
Oh, man.
That just sounds like MXC right there.
That is crazy. Oh,
you know,
I love
most
it.
Extreme challenge, you know.
All right. Speaking of games, all right, we're going to transition back into technology.
Nice.
I will tell you, there's a new Aliens game that is coming out June 20th. And IGN just shared kind of a trailer for it. And being that, I don't know, Sean, you kind of like, and Justin, you like World of Warcraft and games where it's...
I used to.
Like team-based, or you go in and you're trying to solve a problem of this. You're fighting the aliens that were featured in like the movie Aliens. If you remember those, they could swim and they could do all that. It's like that. And IGN on its YouTube page just this week shared a trailer for it. And I got to say, I'm pretty impressed by it. I have never played a game like this, though, before, where it's kind of team-based and you're all trying to, you know, to solve this issue. Kind of like,
what's,
you know,
the game?
World of Warcraft. It's Aliens. I can't remember the full title for it.
Oh, come on. How are you going to lead up to that?
Well, just look for, just go to the IGN page and, you know, and then you're playing with a group of people. I mean, that looks pretty good. There's so many new games that have been announced, and they're putting out trailers before the game is out. So it gets people really excited. Although you got to watch really carefully, because sometimes you'll see the thing.
Prometheus?
No, it's not Prometheus. That was just a bad movie.
Dark Descent?
I think that's it. I think that is what it is.
Aliens Dark Descent.
Yeah. I think that's it.
It just came out. Aliens Dark Descent.
Yeah, it comes out June 20th, just in time for Father's Day.
Yeah.
So there you go. And people can have fun with that. Now, in the same breath, I would love to try some of the games that Sean has been playing. Matter of fact, you just did a LAN party.
Yeah, so this past weekend we had my son's first birthday party, and then post-party. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Four
you kept
my
the baby
friends.
Alive for a year. Give it up for Sean.
So four of my friends stayed over, and we had a LAN party, overnight LAN party, just like back in high school and college, right?
Okay, so
I am so jealous. I am literally so jealous of you right now.
Yeah, so we had, you know, my basement was wired up with computers, and we played the open beta of Diablo 4. So Diablo 4 is obviously the fourth set of Diablo games that came out, with Diablo 3 coming out in 2011. So it's been almost 13 years, right, since the Diablo game has been released. And this has been a long time coming. So excited, right? So it's
I just want to say this real quick.
Yeah.
Diablo is on par with Rockstar. Like when I mean, let me explain.
You're talking about the franchise,
the franchises. When Rockstar, who's the creator of Grand Theft Auto,
right?
When they release a new Grand Theft Auto, it takes them 10 years at least or so.
Kind of like
release
a
new game,
Red Dead Redemption. If you think about that,
sure,
yeah.
But when it comes out, it is. I can't even say the words on radio. It's amazing. Okay, when Blizzard comes out with a new Diablo, this is the same kind of thing. It is amazing.
Yeah, they learned a lot from Diablo 3, right? So Diablo 3 at launch was actually not really great, that great. The gameplay was good, but there was a lot of community portions of it, and they had a real money auction house involved, and it was kind of a chaotic release for that. But it ended up blending into being a really amazing game, right, after the first year and a half of its existence. Diablo 4, so they had their open beta, which means if you pre-purchased the game, you got access to the beta, so you can kind of help them stress test the servers, because the game releases in about 2 months, I think. So this is kind of their stress testing the servers and getting people deeper into the game and stuff. So we played through it, and man, it was awesome. It was fun. The gameplay was really good.
Do they still have a live money or real money auction house? Or are they?
No, there's no in-game trading. There's no real money auction house. There's nothing like that. So
you buy, you get the game, you're going to own it, and you go with what you get and collect stuff along the way.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And, you know, it's online. There is single player, but it's one of those games where you have to be connected online. So it all syncs up and everything. It's cross-platform. It's cross-progression. It's Xbox, PlayStation, PC, no Switch yet for Diablo 4.
It's never going to be.
Diablo 3 came to Switch much later.
Right.
And it was really, really widely received, because there's really...
So Diablo 4 will come to the Switch 3.
Probably.
All right. So for the gameplay, for those who have never played that, would you compare it to World of Warcraft? I mean...
No. It's a completely different... So Diablo 4 is what they call a dungeon crawler hack and slash. You're just... killing monsters and grinding and leveling and going and just... So there's a story mode, and then there's typically, like, you just do dungeons and you just try and go as deep as you can, and the monsters get more health and they get more powerful.
Is it still just click to move like Diablo 3 was? Okay,
yeah.
So yes. it's still the base.
So
okay.
Yeah, so the gameplay is still the same. It's in similar to Diablo 3. There's a much more in-depth talent tree this time around. So if you're familiar with Path of Exile, Path of Exile is another click around hack 'em slash 'em up game that was kind of born from the Diablo game era. The talent tree is a little more in tune to Path of Exile, so it's a little bit more in depth. You get more choices. You feel like you're actually building your character instead of just using a cookie cutter. Like, this is what you have to do. You can kind of play around and do a little more. So the graphics are really good. I was surprised that one of my friends who stayed was still running a GTX 960.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
And it played it just fine.
Wow.
So, interesting. Well, it's not like super high-end graphics. I mean, it's still...
No. Yeah, it's not. You can run it in 4K if you want, but it supports lower resolutions also. But so, I was impressed that it ran decently on his machine.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to throw your feet to the fire here, Sean. Being somebody that I know about Diablo. I've played Diablo 2, Diablo 3, but I never really got into the game. Sell me on Diablo 4. Why?
There you go.
Why should I? Because, I mean, there's probably a lot of listeners out there who probably had never even heard of Diablo,
right?
Let alone played it. So why should I go spend my money on Diablo 4? What makes it worthwhile?
There's five different classes you can play, right? Necromancer, Barbarian, Sorcerer, Rogue, and Druid, I think, in this one. And it's fun. It's a fantasy world, right? And if you really want to get into the lore, you're kind of going to have to go back and read or follow along from Diablo 1, Diablo 2, 3, 4, etc. And it's just a fun, you get dropped into a dungeon and you're just hacking and slashing and killing, and you get legendary drops, and there's really good progression, so you never feel like you're not progressing in the story or within, you know, you get a piece of gear and it lets you do the next level, and then you get the next big item and it lets you go a little bit harder, and you know, and
but
I don't know, it's,
but somebody who's never played Diablo, do they have to go back and play Diablo 1, 2, and 3?
No. The storylines are, while they are linear, right, there are non-linear elements to it, where this story is essentially its own story that has tiebacks and throwbacks to the older lore, right? So, like,
okay.
Lilith, the main character of this version of Diablo, this Diablo 4, is the daughter of one of the other primevals, Mephisto. So it kind of throws back to, it's like you're branching off and kind of getting the hierarchy of the different primevals and things like that. So you don't have to go back and play Diablo 3 or Diablo 2. I would recommend you go back and play Diablo 2 because that's probably one of my favorite games of all time. And the remastered version was amazing. So if you're interested in this type of dungeon crawler game where you're just going into a dungeon and just trying to get to the end and surviving, this is your type of game, right?
Right.
It's not for everybody. It's a fantasy world, and I think it's an incredible franchise.
That's the key thing. Either. It's a fantasy world.
Yeah, it just gives you a chance to try something different. I mean, for me, I liked Red Dead Redemption, which is kind of an open world kind of game, right? And
You're gonna make all the people that are against cowboys mad.
But here's the thing: I have never really played a game where you're playing. I mean, other than, I'm trying to remember the name of the game where you played with your friends and you were trying to complete missions. Is this similar to that? You know,
you can play solo if you want, right? There's a story mode you can play through, and it scales based off of the people that are playing, right? So if it was just me, it's set at X level, and then I can gear up and do more harder stuff, right? As soon as I add somebody, it's harder.
Okay.
You add a third person, it's harder. Well, you add a fourth person, it's harder. It scales.
But you have to work as a team to get through it.
Well, so what happens if I'm just a solo player and I only play solo? What happens after I beat the game?
There you go.
So there's no real indication to what the end game is going to be yet for Diablo 4, right? So until the game launches, right? But Diablo 3, there were challenge rifts, right? They were called challenge rifts. You started at zero and you worked your way up. And as you progressed, you got better and better gear and you leveled up certain items and stuff. And the challenge was, how far can you make it? What's the highest and fastest you can go? Okay, I did a level 100 at this time. Well, then there's a leaderboard online, right? So you're competing against other people.
Are you just playing the same story over and over, but as with better and better gear each time?
Well, you can play through the story over and over if you want, and it gets progressively harder. But then they're doing these different dungeons and different areas that you just go through called challenge rifts, right? So you go into this challenge rift at level whatever you think you're capable of doing, and it's random map, random enemies, random what they call affixes, meaning okay. enemies have random abilities.
Okay. Okay.
And you kind of have to build, tailor your build to those.
When you say build, you mean like your gear and your skills?
Yeah, your gear and your skills, right? Because you might get into a dungeon that has really strong monsters, and you may have to add more damage, or you may have to be there's a lot of magic damage in this dungeon, so you may have to tweak it to be more resistant to magic damage. So there's all these changes that you have to go through. You're kind of always thinking about how you're going to beat this dungeon. And,
interesting. Okay.
Now, I'm wondering, you guys are doing the beta on this, right? The beta to play Diablo 4. Does that mean you were able to get it for free, basically, and run it? Does that mean that when the release is actually, you know, it's final, you guys are going to have to pay for it? Isn't this a way to kind of pull you in and get you?
Well,
to,
yeah,
like,
yeah. It is right. So it's another tactic to, hey, get early access to the game and play it, right? But it's, I trust the Blizzard franchise for Diablo, right? I've been playing it since the early 2000s when Diablo 2 came out. And Diablo 3 came out. I bought it right away, straight away. So it's one of those things where I feel that I'm confident that I'm going to enjoy this game and get my money's worth.
Right.
So for me to pay $65 for it now and get access to early, you know, the pre-beta and help them stress test and help them, you know, get player feedback and fix some bugs and stuff for a better opening experience on when it releases. Sure. That's fine. That's fine to me. Now, there is a trend in the industry where pre-purchasing a game, and the vendor doesn't provide the result on release, right? It's a broken game. It's not complete. This is going to be a complete game when it's done.
Yeah.
With the option for downloadable content in the future, right? A future expansion or, you know, future patches and things like that, right? But this isn't going to be we promised you this, and now we're backing out of that promise. And now you're stuck with a broken game that you prepaid for, right? Because you've seen that in the video game industry where pre-purchase our game or, you know, pre-alpha purchase Star Citizen, for example, right?
Yeah.
Star Citizen has been in a pre-alpha phase for God knows how long, and they keep making the game better and better and better and better over time, but when is it going to be a full release and available? Yeah. Right?
That's what I'm so upset about games nowadays. I mean, honestly, almost every single game is like this. It's like, they release it, and the public is the beta testers.
Yeah.
And I hate that. I hate that. It's like, I just spent $60 on a game. I mean, I think
that's what Cyberpunk 2077 did. I mean,
even before that, the first time it really hit home and people started to understand this was with a game back in 2016 called No Man's Sky.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was promised to be the most expansive space exploration game of all time. It was going to have random planets. Like, everything was, what do you call that, Sean? What's the word for, like, everything is, like, randomly generated? Procedurally.
Yeah, I understand.
Procedurally generated. Anyway, they promised all this. And the game came out, and it was crap. It sucks so bad, and everybody got their money back.
It was broken, and they had this massive refund thing, and then they came back.
I even
like
got
a
my
year
refund.
And a half late. Yeah, they even came back. They came back a year later and said, "Here's a huge update," and then it was an amazing game.
And now, so that's the thing. And now, No Man's Sky is one of the best games of all time. Like, I mean, it is amazing, and it goes to show it's not the developers out there that are at fault for this. It is the publishers, the ones that are telling them, look, we're paying you to make this game. You need to release it on this date. And they're ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Battlefield game. It was all this pre-release access and then stuff. And then it just miserably failed at launch. And everybody's just like,
don't even get it. They don't get it. They see this all the time. And they don't get it.
Well, I think we're on the upswing here, though, because Hogwarts Legacy, if you heard about that game.
I play it. Yeah.
That game was very, very hyped. There was no pre-access. If you bought it, you got it when it released. and it was a complete, finalized, polished game with a roadmap for the future of the game.
Oh, good.
And everybody was just like, is this what it feels like to have a polished game that I'm paying my money for?
And, it's and this was not experience. A big studio that made it.
Right. And so you had all, you know, a lot of the game critics were like, hey, big studios, you better be on your heels. This small studio just put out this huge game and it's amazing. So watch out.
All right. Yeah. Something we're going to talk about is a brand new drone that is from DJI, which I know we're all pretty much big fans of. We've got that in the works. We've also got a new gadget that I want to show you guys and talk a little bit about that when we come back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Colin Mockery of Whose Line Is It Anyway? You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. I don't know how it works. It's all magical stuff to me.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Now you need to go That's to cool. bed. Go to bed. All right. Yeah, Andy, you had a brand new gadget that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I know that we've focused on the show quite a bit on Wyze over the last couple of years when it comes to cameras, and they've made it really easy. One of the things I really liked, and Sean, you told me about this, was the socket adapter. And what it is it screws into a light, all right, and it's got a USB like port on it, and then you can put a light bulb on top of it, and then what that will do is give you the ability to hook up a Wyze cam near this so you don't have to run a whole bunch of wires to be able to run an outdoor camera, which we like, and it's not that expensive.
Yep, I run that outdoors. It's been running for over a year, and it's been fine. So.
Right. Well, there was another product that I took a look at on the market, and this is from a company called LaVue. And if you look at it, it kind of looks a little like a Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. It really does. But it's a camera, and the camera plugs into a wall socket or a socket, I should say. It can plug indoor or outdoor, and it has a 360-degree rotation that can all be controlled from an app from LaVue, which is pretty nice, and it also features pan and tilt and night vision. This camera actually was right around $45-$50, something like that. And again, with the app, you could control it. It's only 2K, which I don't know. I don't think the Wyze cams
2K
are...
2K is still, 2K is the, still
the
really good.
The Wyze cam version 3 Pro does 2K.
So it's equivalent in the quality. And again, it makes it easy. Now, the downside to this is, so you plug it into an outlet outside. That means that outlet has to be on all the time. So for many people, they don't want to leave their outdoor lights, you know, on the back porch on just to power the camera.
Very simple, right to that. Just put a piece of tape across the switch and say, don't turn off.
Right.
Right.
You could do that, but some people still don't want to leave it on because that means an outdoor light's going to be on. So I came up with another solution. And maybe Wyze could have done this too. This is from Fight Electric, and my light bulbs that I have in the home are Fight Electric bulbs. And what I did is
indoor or outdoor.
This is outdoor spotlight that can be controlled. It's basically a smart Wi-Fi bulb. So in this case, I have utility lights outside in the backyard is where we're going to put this. So we'll have the camera in one, and they're basically a utility light with two different sockets. And then I'm going to put this in the other. We rarely use the light, so I can leave it off, even though the switch will be on. And then if I do need it, I just go into the app for Fight Electric and be able to turn on the light. And it's 95 watts, so it'll provide basically 1,000 lumens.
You could even take it a step further,
right,
and automate all of that. So if you got the camera detects motion, it would then turn
the light
on the lights. Now, you probably need to have something like a Home Assistant or something like that, like a home automation software like I run Home Assistant. But you'd probably need something like that. But you could do something where if the camera senses motion, turn on X amount of lights.
Yeah, if this, then that. And that's not a bad idea. I was going to go just the other route. Now, I have it already set up with my office lights that I just tell you know, my Alexa device, I tell it when I want to go ahead and have those lights come on, and they're in a group. So both of them will come on. I can have this in a separate group. I can actually control the other bulbs that are on the outdoor, you know, outdoors can all be in one central group if I wanted. But being the fact that I rarely turn on the utility light, at least I have that there. It'll be in the socket. Yep. And then I'll have the camera from LaVue to be able to do that. And I like the fact that I can control it and rotate it and be able to, you know, with the app and be able to see, hey, what's going on the left side. That's the only downside with the Wyze is you really can't do that for the outdoor cameras unless they have a pan tilt version for outdoors, John. I know they have indoor.
They do.
Okay, good.
But now the question is, can you control this from outside your home?
Yes. Yeah, all with the app.
So the app actually connects to the cloud and allows you to control the device remotely.
Remotely, yes. So if I'm at work and I get a notification that it's sent some movement, or I just want to get a sweep of the yard, I can go ahead and do that with this. And again, not that expensive. You may have seen they invested a lot in social media to promote these. And a lot of people were doing it and people were saying, ooh, I like that. Now, the one I have is black because the white one wasn't available. And I honestly thought, you know what? I like this anyways. It just, it's going to be good. Now, my main thing is...
What's the price?
Like I said, it was like right around maybe $40 or $50. Okay. So, you know, a little more than I think on a Wyze cam. But again, we'll see how that quality is. And I'll be able to share some of the photos with you. But that's something new that I wanted to share with you. I showed it on television in my Fox segment because I get that question a lot. Which camera should I get for the home? Now, if you ask me, I will always say, and I know you guys are going to scoff at me, but I will always say Nest. I'm a big fan of Nest. The Nest cams are to me, the quality is great, and I've never been let down with those. But, you know, for cost, they're very expensive, but for cost, you might want to look at something like Wyze or even something like this. I'm actually thinking about trying the Wyze doorbell. And that's going to be next.
You know, I pre-ordered the doorbell, the original doorbell, and they have a pro version now, a wireless version of the doorbell. I have the wired version. It's been rock solid since I bought it.
And the quality is good. It doesn't take forever to get that notification to you because both Justin and I had Ring and we were so disappointed with that.
It's 15 to 20 seconds potentially. Right. If you saw somebody walk up to your door, it would be like they're up at the door. Boop, somebody's at your door.
But the thing is, when you open the app to get the notification, with Ring, it would just sit there and spin. And by the time it finally came live, they were gone.
Yeah.
Right. So Wyze had the same problem where they even said like, hey, you guys are trying to get to the cloud hasn't had time to process your video yet. That's what the problem was, right? It's like,
well, Nest doesn't have that.
No, Nest doesn't really have that issue. Now, I've not tried the Nest doorbell cam.
I have it.
You have that one?
Honestly, they with the Nest doorbell, they actually released an update, apparently. I don't know. I'm not sure. But all of a sudden, for the past 2 weeks, I have been getting motion alerts in front of my doorbell, which I thought I always had set up.
Right.
But people just walking by my door. Now, again, I live in a place where the public sidewalk is probably 8 feet from my door.
Oh, wow.
So it's very close. So it's not like, you know, it picks up really far away. But all of a sudden, I'm starting to get every day 5 or 10, you know, hey, a Nest detected a person in front of your door. And I go to look at it. And I'm like, oh, it's just somebody walking by. But they must have released an update because I never got those alerts before. But honestly, though, with Nest, if somebody rings my doorbell on all my Google devices, I have one Google screen device and then I have a bunch of Google speakers. Within like half a second after them ringing the doorbell, it's like, boom, somebody's at your front door. And I look at the screen and bam, there's the live feed. I look at my phone, bam, there's a live feed of the door.
Right.
With Ring, I never got that. I would be lucky to get it within 65 seconds.
Now, were you using the wired? Because I was using the
wired
Ring. And yeah,
wired.
And, you know, now they're really pushing the wireless Ring doorbells.
Well, So when you're saying wired, you're talking about only power.
It's powered by the doorbell switch that you maybe had there.
But you're not going to get a wired doorbell that has wired Ethernet. for internet. You're not going to get that. Every doorbell is going to be Wi-Fi only.
Yeah.
It's just where it gets its power from.
Right.
And so I am using the wired Nest doorbell. Same with the wired Ring doorbell. Again, it needs Wi-Fi for data.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
But you can go with the wireless battery powered, so you don't have to run a new transformer or anything like that.
Yeah, sure. No, you can. If you have a situation where you don't, like an apartment building, for instance, right? Apartments.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a wired solution for that. So you want to go with Wi-Fi. The downside of the Wi-Fi or the
battery
wireless
one,
completely battery one is that you're going to have to charge it every so often. And you may not remember to charge it. And then when somebody comes to your door to ring your doorbell, well, it's just simply not going to work because the battery's dead.
Well, let's face it. We all live in areas, too, where, you know, the elements can sometimes be an issue. I know the heat has been an issue for certain cameras or certain doorbell with batteries.
With the Nest. Yep, I've had that.
And the same goes when it gets too cold, which you get there in Denver and
I do too.
You get there in Indiana as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Guys will laugh.
Have you ever had that down in Arizona? I mean, come on, you got the heat.
Yeah,
It snowed like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it snowed here 2 weeks ago and a pretty good snow as well.
Okay, I'm not talking about the freak snowstorm. I'm talking about like the heat. Do you ever get your doorbell to go offline because it's like, hey, I'm overheating?
Yeah, it actually did happen once. Yeah, it did. And my Nest Cam actually did that once, and we couldn't figure out what it was, and then we. I talked to support and they said it's the heat. And where it gets 118 degrees out here, that can be
That's
just
too hot.
Way too much for that.
Way
so
too hot.
Those are things to consider. You might want to, go to the forums and find out other issues that people have had if they're in Arizona. Now, I know Sean, I want to say 7 months ago, 8 months ago, I bought myself a drone, my very first drone, the DJI 3, which I gotta say I'm pretty happy with it, although I've flown it maybe 5 times now. I'm just so nervous about losing it.
Me too.
That kind of investment, it took a long time for you to spend that kind of money, but they've got something new though if somebody really wants to get in the world of drones. And I kind of wonder, do you think maybe they're trying to latch him in to say, oh, you got this one and now you're gonna want something better?
Oh, I'm sure, right? But I mean, they're trying to tap again into the prosumer market, right? They're trying to get the people who are doing this for a little bit extra money. They're trying to get it into the hands of kids. They're trying to get it in. Everybody's just trying to get it in anybody's hands that wants to fly, right? If a kid sees and goes, oh, I want a drone, right? If Eric came to you and said, I want a drone, what's your first thought?
Say no to drones, kids.
What cost comes to mind when Eric comes to use a drone?
When Eric wants a drone, at his age, at 6 years old, I would say no more than $50.
Whoa, really? That's it?
No, because he's 6 years old, dude.
Yeah.
He's going to crash it and break it.
Wait, how much did you spend on the remote control car? Or was that for you? Didn't you buy
that
remote?
That was for me.
Yeah.
Well, it was first off, the big remote control car was for me, and it's already broken because I broke it. But the little remote control car is one of those crawlers, which goes like top speed of 2 miles an hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah.
That way it doesn't bust your ankles with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but when you have a drone at that price, you get limited features, no stabilization. They fly like crap. And their battery life is abysmal, right?
Right.
DJI has dropped a new drone, another new drone.
Okay.
The DJI Mini 2 SE. No idea what the SE stands for.
Special edition.
Sure.
SW. Sure, whatever.
Sure, whatever. I was like, oh man, I've been looking at DJI drones. I want to get the FPV one, but it's about $1,100, right?
Yeah.
So then I saw this one, the DJI Mini 2 SE. $339.
Man, that's amazing. That's really good.
Or a super compact, collapsible, the wings collapse and everything, just like the Mavic or the, but it's really tiny. And that's for the drone plus the controller. Now, this is one of those ones where you have to have the app on your phone and you link it up via USB to your phone. So it doesn't have a screen on the controller, much like the higher price.
Well, same like my DJI Phantom 4. I had to have my phone connected to it. And the Android app for the DJI Phantom 4 back in, what was it, 2016?
Yeah.
Or 2017? Sucked.
Yeah. Wasn't that great.
But the Android version for most of the DJI stuff has been pretty
bad. But
it
comes with the actual controller, so you can see what's going on with the camera that's on the two, but your controller is actually separate. So you got that, but it comes with it.
Yeah, it comes with it, which they do offer a couple different versions that don't come with a controller. You just fly it from your phone.
Ugh, no.
But then they have the Fly More combo, which comes with two more batteries, a flight case, some extra props, some other stuff for $489. So,
wow,
a reasonably priced drone that's going to give you really good quality video.
Yeah, so it's not 4K though.
Not 4K. It's 2.7K, so 1440, 30 frames. But you know, we talked about this earlier, and if you shoot it at 2.7K at 30 frames, right? It's rendering at probably 10 or 15 meg.
Yeah.
Per second. That's probably going to be comparable to like 1080p at 50 or 60 meg in quality, right? So if you drop it down to 1080p, you're going to get just as good quality, I think, and you're going to be just as happy, right? So,
and that's now available, right?
It's available now. Buy now. Shop now. Yeah. It's
all right.
Ship within one day.
I might have to go get one of those, even for myself, because I wanted to get back into the drone game.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to spend $1,100, $1,500 on another drone. But to spend $350 or so?
That's not too bad. Yeah.
That's not bad at all. So if you're looking for a drone or an early Christmas present for somebody or a birthday gift or something.
Or a whatever gift.
Father's Day around the corner.
Or a whatever. Father's Day gift.
Max, there we go.
Me a new drone.
You want me to call Misa and let her know?
Yes, please. Please do that.
So, all right. Yeah. So I wasn't expecting them to, because they had just recently dropped the Mini and the Mini 3. And so I wasn't expecting another version of the Mini.
They've
so.
Been putting out a lot of products with that, the Arvada as well. I mean, they've got a pretty good line of products and solidified it, because some of the other drone companies we heard about like 5-6 years ago, where are they?
Right. So my biggest one is people forget, GoPro had a drone at one point.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, they did. I remember that.
I don't
remember
that.
It was called the GoPro Karma. And Karma bit them in the rear end. And almost every drone they shipped had battery failure within the first 30 to 40 minutes of flight time.
Yeah.
And they were literally dropping out of the sky.
I got to tell you, I with my 3, when I tried to fly it the other day after we had the snow here, it kept telling me there was a problem to call tech support. And one of the blades I noticed was not spinning. And I'm like, oh no, how did I break it in the box? That would have been my luck, right? And all I did is I just kind of turned it a little and boom, fired up. No problem. So
it's just loose, or it had too much resistance. Like it was folded funny.
One of the questions I want to ask you guys, being parents, all about security when it comes to your kids buying stuff online. With more of Tech Talk Radio, I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin. Let me send us a tweet at Tech Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So I got a chance to do a couple of special segments with Fox 11 and 13 News here in Tucson this week. And they wanted to know my thoughts on, number one, unauthorized purchases. And number two, about some of the security issues that people and parents are seeing and how to protect that. So, you know, I'm thinking you guys are new parents.
I've got a little bit more experience than Sean.
Yeah, but he's one. I don't think Max has ordered anything online yet, right?
No, but he knows how to work the remote and can get Netflix. It's only a matter of time before he's grabbing
phone.
Oh,
my God. I'll tell you some stories.
Uber Eats and ordering 30 hamburgers.
Yeah, we've heard those stories, you know, about kids getting a hold of the parents' phone and then inadvertently ordering Uber Eats, which I think was in Colorado that happened. Or even making in-game purchases while they're playing Roblox or some of the other games that are out there. Have you guys thought about that? Like, how are you going to handle that as the kids get older?
I actually have had that happen just recently.
Ooh.
I made a grave mistake. I was tired of Eric playing these mobile games on my tablet. Like, he would download every mobile game known to man. And every time you play it, like every 10 or 15 seconds, you would get an ad. Mm. And I'm just like, I'm done with this. Like, he's like, Daddy, I want to buy this. Daddy, I want to buy this. No,
no,
no, we're not going to buy it. Stop. Skip the ad. Stop. So then I said, you know what? It would be really cool if I introduced him to Roblox.
Uh-huh.
Famous last words. Because Roblox, every single game is like, hey, do you want to be a VIP in my server? Join here, only $5.99. And he was constantly like, Dad. I love this game. I need to buy VIP.
Oh, man.
I'm like, no, you don't. No, I need you. You don't understand. I need the pink outfit. I need it. No, you don't need it. You can play the game without the pink. No, Dad, you don't understand.
Yeah.
So
you gave in.
No. No, I didn't give in. What he did was like, I got an idea. He ran upstairs and smashed his piggy bank. Here's $5. Buy me the pink outfit.
Oh, no.
I'm like, bro, there's so much more that you could be saving your money for than a pink outfit on Roblox. And again, this $5 only goes towards that particular game on Roblox. Mm-hmm. There are a million games on Roblox. Every single game he plays, he's like, Dad, it's only $1. It's only $1. No, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, anyway, I'm done. My heart is palpitating thinking about this.
So Roblox itself, actually, you could go into the settings on Roblox and you can, and I love how they do this. You can allocate a monthly allowance.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'd turn it to zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some parents say, oh, I'll give my kid
$20. But that does not allocate how much your kid bothers you
yes.
about buying things that they can't buy on their own.
Once they use their allowance, they will ask you again. And that's been kind of the scourge for a lot of parents and how to control that. Sometimes they might even go behind your back and who knows the charges you'll see. We've seen cases where parents are getting $1,000 bills for service.
I caught him going for my wallet.
You did not.
But here's the thing. He was going for the cash. And I'm like, oh, good luck with that, kid.
No, he was smart. Next time you went to Walgreens or CVS, he was going to buy a Roblox gift card and then use that.
Oh, see? I see. We
see?
Eric!
So, I don't know. Sean, what are you thinking? I mean, Max is only one. What would you do to circumvent that? I mean, do you talk to your kids constantly and say, don't do this, don't do that?
But yeah, all he wants to do is play with cords and electrical outlets right now.
That's not good, Sean. That's just not good.
That's just dangerous.
That's not good.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Cords and
I was going to say he just wants to play with his binky.
Sean, please get him onto Roblox. Yeah. Get him away from the electrical cords.
Anything but electrical cords. He's going to be like the cat from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. No, I don't know how it's going to work. He sees us on our phones all the time. He knows that swiping your phone does stuff. He knows that the buttons on the side make the phone do things. He can navigate to the camera and start taking pictures.
Right. Has he called 911 accidentally?
Not yet, but he's locked me out of my watch for like 3.5 hours.
Oh, kids and technology.
Because when I'm holding him, right, if I'm holding him and trying to get him to sleep and he's playing my watch, I'm not paying attention. And I look down and it's like, you've been locked out of your watch for 3 hours and 48 minutes.
This is great.
I feel like every parent goes through that. I mean, it's probably way easier now
totally.
Because even me playing with my phone, if I'm just fidgeting with it, all of a sudden it's like dialing emergency services because you hit the side button like 6 times in a row, right?
Yeah.
And, you know. Even kids back in the 80s and the 90s still prank dialed 911 and hung up.
I never did.
Oh, I totally did. I
get paddled.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that. I did that all the time.
I didn't.
Because but both of my parents worked at the hospital, right?
Yeah.
When I was young, I didn't know how to get a hold of them.
You called
I just
911?
Knew that 911 was the number for the hospital.
I would have talked to my mom and dad.
I would be like, I want to talk to my mommy. And they'd be like, I'm sorry, who's your mommy? I'm like, she works at the regional hospital. And they're like, this is 911. Do you have an emergency? I'm like, no, I just want to talk to my mom.
That's so cute. I can see it. That is awesome. Oh, man. So, you know, when you get to that point, though, a lot of parents can have that talk with their kids. And it's hard to get a kid to understand that money doesn't grow on trees. And it's finding the proper game for them to play as well is also really important. You know, the in-app purchases, the loot carts, those are things that you should know as a parent that could end up costing you money when they want to do it. I find you guys would be surprised. After finally level 7,551, I finally deleted Toon Blast because they were making it so it would take 5 days to get through a level. They just made it no fun anymore. And yeah, I've paid some money for it. You know, I'd want to get through get extra points and probably drop, you know, $30-$40.
That's the problem is they make it predatory where it's like, just for 99 cents, you can get past level that we made so hard.
Exactly. That's why I got rid of it.
I've told you in the past, did I ever mention this on the show, how much money I've spent on Clash of Clans over the years?
Yeah, for our listeners who weren't here, how much did you spend,
you
Justin?
You roped me into that game when I was in San Diego, jerk.
Hey,
check out this game, Clash of Clans. It's really fun. It's free to play, but you got to spend like $60 to catch up.
Yeah. So over the years, I really got into it after I moved to Denver. I really got into it after I moved to Denver. So let's say from 2014 to 2021 is when I kind of stopped playing it. I think I've spent probably close to, now this is including gift cards from like birthday presents and whatnot, I've probably spent close to $2,000.
Yeah. And what, how often do you play that now?
Never.
No, I don't even think I have the app on my phone anymore.
I don't want to know how much I've spent on World of Warcraft.
Oh yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. You can spend money on World of Warcraft?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You buy loot. Yeah.
In-game pets. No, it's not loot. You can't pay for loot. But you can pay for in-game pets, in-game mounts. You can pay real money to get in-game a token that you can turn in for gold or turn in for game time. You can rename your characters. You can move them from server to server, things like that. So,
and this, kids, is how I divorced your mother.
the one I'm playing right now, I still play. I did once pay to see how it would be for a month with no ads, and I loved it. Words with Friends too, because I play it and then you get an ad. You play it, you get an ad. It's just, it's overwhelming sometimes, but either way, that's just some things to think about. If you want to see these segments, they'll be available on our website at techtalkradio.com. Quick break, and then find out our website of the week or gadget of the week. You guys figure it out. That's coming up. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin Lemmy. Once again, find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Now, normally we do the website of the week, but you know what? I decided, let's do something different.
Oh,
we're going to do YouTube channel of the week.
Well, I like it. All right.
So I watch a lot of YouTube. That's my go-to entertainment source. Mm-hmm. There's one guy that I really, really enjoy watching on YouTube, and his channel is called The Why Files.
Oh.
And it's the W-H-Y, The W-H-Y Files.
Okay.
And when you initially watch any of his videos, he seems right off the bat to be a conspiracy theorist because he's talking about conspiracy theories. And you're like, okay, yeah, whatever, dude, whatever. Yeah. But at the end of most of his videos, he will debunk that said conspiracy theory. And he'll be like, here's why it's false. And then blah, 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 blah.
Ooh.
But there are some times where he will say, I can't debunk this. I don't know if it's true or not.
What kind of, does he get good comments from people who
oh my gosh, this guy's got millions of followers, millions of views. It's seriously, if you're interested at all in any type of conspiracy theory, and I'm not talking about political or whatever, just any type of conspiracy theory, whether it be aliens or I don't know. And I can't even think, I've watched so many of his videos, I can't even pick one out.
It's travelers, a really Tesla, Georgia Guidestones, Atlantis.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
So many good things it looks like on here.
It is really cool. The Why Files on YouTube.
How often?
W-H-Y.
How often does he put new content up?
Every couple weeks at the most. And he also does live broadcasts where he will just simply go live and just answer questions from people. But one of the favorite part of my video of his videos, my favorite part of his videos is he's got a little goldfish that sits next to him and he calls him the hecklefish. And the goldfish will actually talk and he'll say things during it. So it's kind of like a duo. It's him goldfish that'll go back and forth and heckle each other. But it's really good. The production value is very basic.
Right.
It's very simple. I mean, but it's so good.
Right.
And the guy's got some amazing production value in it.
And it's called The Y Files?
The Y Files. W-H-Y. The Y Files on YouTube. Check it out. It's really, really cool.
All right. Big question, Sean. Any leftover birthday cake that you're sending us?
No. I hate it all.
I kind of thought that.
He's actually eating it while we're on the show.
While we're on the show, yes. Yeah. All right, that's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeer. No cake for you.
And I'm Justin Lemmy. I didn't want cake anyway. Find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. See you next week.